My wife is in a call in the background, so.
Okay, tell her not to scream loudly.
Okay. If it's too much feedback, you'll let me know.
Okay.
That's what you call screaming her calls.
Screaming her calls. I scream. Okay, let's go. We're up to the Mishnah. Ketzad Mezamnin. We've spoken a lot about Zimun. How do you go about doing the actual process of Zimun? Says the Mishnah. Ketzad Mezamnin. Bishloisha, when you are in the presence of just three people. I'm just altering my screen a bit, it should be clearer.
That's good.
Okay. Ketzad mezamnin b'shloisha oimer nevorech. When there are three people, meaning that the one is in fact addressing the other two, then you should say the words nevorech.
The word rabosai is understood.
Yeah, rabosai is just a polite introduction. That's not an essential part of the Zimun. So if you have three, then necessarily the person who is leading the Zimun must incorporate himself in the bracha. That's what it means, nevorech, let us make a bracha. Meaning the three of us, himself included, because the three has to include him. You don't have three without him. Says the Mishnah, if it is b'shloisha v'hu, what happens if there are three people? Okay, I think we might need to mute, Nachum.
Sorry.
Looks like things are heating up there. B'shloisha v'hu, if there are three people plus him, then Omer, then you would say, quote unquote, Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu means you shall bless. Nevorech means we shall bless. So why, when there's three without him, meaning there's four or five or six, why is it you say Baruch Hu? Says Rashi. First Rashi on the Mishnah. B'shloisha v'hu Omer Baruch Hu. Daho. Belav didei, without him, ikazimun. There's a zimun. So he doesn't need to incorporate himself and say, nevorech, let us bench. He can address them and instruct them to bench because they have three without him. Says Rashi, v'chein kulam. So too with all the examples we're going to mention now coming up, that will always be the difference. We're always trying to work out, does he necessarily have to incorporate himself in the Zimun, or are there enough people without him? So the first example has been the magic number three. So if there are
it's
only...
interesting. I mean, because the Haggadah talks about the Rasha, his problem is that he excludes himself. So here, the Mezamein is excluding himself. That seems like a...
Precisely, that's going to be the first kasha of the Gemara on the bottom line we're going to see soon, yeah.
Okay.
Says the Gemara, that's with three. Now we move on. Ba'asara. What about when you have 10 people? So as we know, the Nusach changes slightly when it is Ba'asara. How so? Ba'asara oimer nevorech Elokeinu. So it's the same nevorech. He's got to incorporate himself. Why? Because the 10 include him. There are no 11 people. There's only 10. He adds Elokeinu, but he still says Nevorech. Ba'asara v'hu. When you have 10 and him, so it's 11 altogether, then Omer Baruch Hu. Then you can say Baruch Hu. And this is what Rashi meant when he said V'chein b'kulam. In other words, in all the examples, the rule is uniform. Are we necessarily incorporating the mezamein with the others, or do we have enough people without him? The difference is, you say Nevarich or Baruch Hu.
And still shame Hashem after Baruch Hu?
Correct. Says the Mishnah, Echod Asoro Ve'echod Asoro Ribui. It makes no difference one whether you've got 10 people or 10 times 10,000 people, 100,000. Makes no difference. What does that mean? Have a look at Rashi. Echod Asoro Ve'echod Asoro Ribui. Kloima. Hakoil Shove. It is all exactly the same. Mi sheru'uyim lahazkir es Hashem. From the moment that they are able to mention Hashem's name, meaning they have 10 or up, then it makes no difference anymore. Ein tzrichim l'shanois. So you don't change the nusach. Meaning that as far as this line of the Mishnah is concerned, and we'll soon see whether this is agreed upon by everybody, but as far as this line of the Mishnah is concerned, the same is true for 10 or 11 or 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000. You either mention Hashem's name or you don't. Less than 10, you don't. More than 10 or upwards, you do. How much upwards of 10 you have is irrelevant. Says Rashi, immediately, Uba Gemara Parech. But the Gemara is going to have to ask Haktani Sefer in the very next line. You say the opposite. Because in the very next line of the Mishnah, what does it say? B'meya v'hu oimer, etc. So the next line of the Mishnah clearly indicates that it does make a difference on the exact numbering, even when you get to over 10. Now, as we always point out, we've pointed out umpteen times in the past, that where Rashi says, B'gemara parech, what does that mean? Why does Rashi have to warn us of the upcoming question in the Gemara?
I've got a question.
Because it's inherently difficult to understand al derech hapshat. If the Gemara merely asks a question, let's say from an alternative brisa, etc., Rashi doesn't need to warn us. When you get to the Gemara, you'll see it. Rashi needs to warn us or help us because he knows very well you're going to read the Mishnah and it makes no sense. Al derech hapshat, the Mishnah makes no sense. So Rashi calms us down. Rashi says, great question. I know you're going to have this question. Don't worry. Have patience. The Gemara will ask it. So this is a classic case in point. The Mishnah, the one line says, it makes no difference whether it's 10 or 100,000. And the very next line, it says, now, if it's 100, you change the Nusach. Well, that's a contradiction. That's why Rashi needed to warn us. Yes, don't worry, but Gemara Parech. Fine, so we'll wait till we see the Gemara.
Isn't the issue not including the name of Hashem, but the Nevorech?
The issue is the entire change of Nusach. We're going to see in a moment that when there's 100, you say, Vorech Lashem, Elekeinu. And if it's a little more, you say, Elekeinu, Elekei Yisrael. You're adding words at each multiple of 10.
Okay. The Mishnah just said that there's going to be no change.
Yeah, the Mishnah just said there's no difference. So what's going on? Is there a difference or is there no difference? Okay. So again, this is not a question that we're asking based on a brisa elsewhere. Inherently, the Mishnah makes no sense. And anybody learning the Mishnah should necessarily have this question. So Rashi says, yes, good question, but Gemara Parech. Okay, back into the Mishnah. B'meyo. What happens if you have 100 people? B'meyo, you say, Nevorech Hashem Elokeinu. So you've added that word. When you had 10, what did you say? Nevorech Elokeinu. But now you've said Nevorich Hashem Elokim. B'meo v'hu. If you have 101 people, meaning 100 besides for him. So then, Omer Baruch Hu. Again, like Rashi said in the first Rashi, V'chein b'kulam, the rule in the Mishnah is uniform, that there's always a distinction between, do you have sufficient people without you? So then you say Baruch Hu, and if you don't, you say Nevorich. Next line says the Mishnah, Be'elef. If you have 1,000 people, Hu Omer Nevorich LaHashem Elokeinu Elokei Yisrael. Be'elef v'hu Omer Baruch Hu. So each multiple of 10, we are stepping up the bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for simple reason, because it is more of a covet for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more people that there are thanking him, praising him. So we've looked at 10, 100, 1,000. The next multiple of 10 is obviously 10,000. Beribui, what do you do if you have 10,000 people eating together? Omer Nevorech Lashem Elokeinu Elokei Yisrael Elokei Tzvokois Yoshev Hakruvim Alamozoin Shochalnu. Beribui Vahu Omer Baruch Hu. So we've seen altogether there are 5 different subcategories. 3, 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000. Says the Mishnah, Ke'inyan Shehu Mavorech, in the same style that he makes his bracha, Kach Oinim Acharov, so too they respond accordingly. They always respond with a similar nusach to his initiation. So therefore they will also say, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Yisrael Elokei Tzavokos Yeshev Akruvim Alamozin Shochalnu Mishalei.
There's no Mishalo here.
Sorry, Shochalnu, quite right. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Omer lefi roiv hakahal, heim mevarachim. Not clear exactly what Rabbi Yossi Aglili is adding. Let's just translate. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, depending on the roiv of the kahal, depending on the size of the assembled there, heim mevarachim. That will therefore decide what the nusach of the bracha is. Shenema, b'makheilois, in communities, baruch hu Elohim Hashem memekor Yisrael. Now, it's not obviously clear what was Rabbi Yossi Aglili just adding. What does Rabbi Yossi Aglili say? That the bracha will change depending on the size of a crowd that you have there. Isn't that what we've just spent the whole Mishnah saying? We've just said, if it's 10, it's this. If it's 100, it's that. If it's 10,000, it's this. 1,000. In other words, the bracha depends on the size of the assembled. Comes on Rabbi Yossi Aglili and says, you should know something. The bracha decides on the number of assembled. We just said that. So keep on going to the end of the Mishnah, we'll see a Rashi. Omer Rabbi Kiva, ma motzim b'beis ha-knesses. Rabbi Kiva disagrees with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says it all depends on the size of the crowd, and that will dictate the nusach of the bracha. Says Rabbi Kiva, ma motzim b'beis ha-knesses. Just like we find in a shul, Echod merubim ve'echod mu'otim, whether you have a large crowd or a small crowd, it makes no difference. Omer Baruch Hu es Hashem. So basically, we have another precedent for also expressing a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a communal level, and we do not make any distinction. Once you have 10 people, you say Baruch Hu, and the same if you have 10 million people and anything in between. Therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, as far as I'm concerned, benching would be exactly the same as davening. And just like in davening, we do not change the nusach. Once you get to your 10, there's a standardized nusach of Baruch Hu Es Hashem. So why would benching be any different? You, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, just finished saying that it depends on the size of the kiss of the assembled. So Rabbi Akiva, why? In davening, it's not that way. So why should benching be different? Rabbi Yishmael Aimer, Baruch Hu Es Hashem, Amavoy Rav. So what's Rabbi Yishmael, who does Rabbi Yishmael agree to? Rabbi Yosi Aglili or to Rabbi Akiva?
Akiva.
Agrees to Rabbi Akiva.
He just says
that the Nusach is not Baruch Hu Es Hashem, but rather Baruch Hu Es Hashem, Amavoy Rav. But yes, I agree. And if there's a standardized nusach for davening, then why can't there be a standardized nusach for benching as well? Now look at Rashi, the last Rashi on the Mishnah. Says Rashi, Lefi Roiv Hakohol. This is a quote of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Kmoi Sha'omar, Sheyesh Chiluk, Bein Mea Lasara. Exactly as we said, there is indeed a difference between 100 or 10, or Bein Mea Le'elef, or Bein Elef Le'ribui. In other words, the previous line in the Mishnah, which said that there's a difference depending on the size of the Zimun, yes, that is in fact Rabbi Yosi Aglili talking. When Rabbi Yosi Aglili says it all depends on the size of the crowd, and we ask, what's being added to the Mishnah? He's not adding a new opinion, he's just saying that he is the author of that opinion. Yes, he holds that it all depends on the size of the crowd. The Hadaktani. You remember we had that very strange line in the middle of the Mishnah just thrown in there, and it said, Echod Asara, the Echod Asara Ribui, quote unquote. That line when the Mishnah says it makes no difference whether it's 10 or 10,000, it's all the same, says Rashi, Rebbe Akiva hi. Yes, it's a bit anonymous and a bit mixing up, but that line is Rabbi Akiva, because what did Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva says, the Omar ma motzin beis haknesses. Just how we find that in shul, mishehigiu la'asara, once they get to the magic number 10, ein chiluk. After that, there's no difference. It makes no difference, bein rabim, bein ma'atim, whether it's many people, whether it's a few people, makes no difference. Afkan, so too over here in benching as well. Rabbi Akiva maintains, Ein Chiluk, comma. Hachi Muki La B'Gemara. This is the way that the Gemara will establish the Mishnah. And once again, we reiterate the rule that we said before. Why is Rashi telling you what's coming up in the Gemara? Because this Mishnah just literally does not read. We seem to be jumping backwards and forwards. There is a difference between 10 or more. There's no difference between 10 more. What's going on? The answer is, if you wait patiently, says Rashi, you'll see at the end of the Mishnah, there are two opinions, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Akiva says there's one standardized Nusach. Rabbi Yosi Aglili says the Nusach is variable. Says Rashi, therefore, the first half of the Mishnah, albeit rather anonymous, they are indeed those two opinions. So that line in the Mishnah that says, Echod Asara, Echod Asarim, it's all the same. Yes, that's Rabbi Akiva. And the other part of the Mishnah that tells us that there's a difference between 10 and 100 and 1,000, yes, that's Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Fine. Says Rashi, where do I get that from? I got that from the Gemara. Why am I telling it to you now? Because otherwise the Mishnah is simply not readable. Simply not readable. Yeah, okay. Now let's indeed, before we go into the Gemara, let's have a look at Tosfos. Says Tosfos, Nevarech Eloikeinu Garsino. The correct text in the Mishnah, and that's indeed a text that we have, is Nevarech Eloikeinu. Veloi Garsinon Nevarech Leiloikeinu. There is on occasion, as Tosis is about to point out, a time that you do have to say Nevarech Leiloikeinu to our God. But that's not the case in benching. In benching, you just say Nevarech Eloikeinu. Says Tosis, Veloi Garsinon Nevarech Leiloikeinu Belamet. Why not? What's the rule? The Dafka Gavashir Vahidoya. It's only with regard to when you are praising or thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ksiv Lamed. That's when you add the Lamed, Leiloikeinu Kamoi Shiru Lashem, or Hoidu Lashem, or Gadlu Lashem. Avol Gavad Brocha. Here we are neither thanking nor praising. What are we doing? We are benching HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol. We haven't found a difference, as Tosis, between with a lamed or without a lamed when you're dealing with a brocha for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only place you'll find there's a difference in whether it's Shir V'Shevach and Hoidaya. I found this explicitly in the Seder of Rav Amram. He points out that you're supposed to say Eloikeinu and not Leiloikeinu. In 2 seconds, been a long day. 1 second, please. Okay, so that's the chilek that Tosis is making. There's a difference between hoidoa to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shir v'shevach, like we said this morning in davening, hoidu l'ashem, or shiru l'ashem, and then indeed we add the lamud, whereas over here, it is neither shir or shevach, but rather it's a brocha. When it comes to a brocha, we don't say baruch leiloikeinu, or nevarech leiloikeinu, we just say nevarech Eloikeinu. To be perfectly honest, I'm not sure exactly what the difference is, but that's, says the Tosfos, that's how you know when to add the lamed and when not. Says Tosfos, Omar of Akiva. Ma motzinu bebeis haknesses echod asora. Rabbi Akiva came with a taina. What did he say? How can you differentiate between 10, 100, 1,000, etc., etc.? After all, in davening, there is no difference. So the obvious question is, and this is what Tosfos deals with, is that Rabbi Yossi HaGlili did not really answer that question. Ask Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, what do you do in davening? Do you agree that in davening there's a standardized lashon? If you disagree and you hold that in davening there's also a difference, okay, so then we're all on the same page. We all agree that benching and davening follows the same rules. But Rabbi Yossi HaGlili never responded. So it would sound like that essentially Rabbi Yossi HaGlili does agree that in davening there is a standardized nusach, well, in which case he hasn't answered the question. So why would there be a difference between benching and davening? So look at Tosfos. Omer Rabbi Akiva, ma motzinu beis haknesses, echod asor, or just like we find in davening, that whether there's 10 or 100 or 1,000, it makes no difference. So he maintained that benching is the same. So what does Rabbi Saglili hold? Says Tosfos, mashma. It sounds like the implication is to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili moide bebeis haknesses. It sounds that Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is the first one to admit that yes, that is true, that in shul we don't make a distinction. Why? Where is it mashma? Mida ka'omar, seeing as Rabbi Akiva said to him, ma motzinu, just like we find in the shul. Kloima, what that means is to say, she'ato moide li. Otherwise, there's no use firing a question at Rabbi Yossi HaGlili and saying to him, oh, just like in shul, so too in benching. But that's not much of a question if Rabbi Yossi HaGlili never agreed with you with regard to shul. Says Tosfos, the implication is that Rabbi Akiva understands full well that yes, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili also agrees that in shul there's a standardized nusach. So now we understand Rabbi Akiva's question very well. Oh, if that's the case, then you yourself admit that in shul is one nusach. So says Rabbi Akiva, well, if that's the case and you agree to that, well, I maintain there's no difference anymore between benching and davening. Says Tosfos, umay shna, so what indeed is the difference? Why indeed the pligi b'birkas hamazon? Why indeed does he disagree with regard to birkas hamazon and he holds that what? That the nusach does change depending on the number. And yet, umaydu b'beis haknesses? Question mark. So Tosfos' question is very much based on his assumption. What was his assumption? His assumption was that Rabbi Yossi HaGlili indeed agrees that in davening there's one standard nusach. In which case, that begs the question that Rabbi Akiva is l'chaira coming with a very powerful question. What is the answer? Why does Rabbi Yossi HaGlili make a distinction when it comes to benching, but not when it comes to davening? When it comes to davening, he does agree that the nusach is standard. The Yesh Leima. De vadai loy chilku ben asara lemeya betfila. He says, when it comes to davening, definitely you cannot make a distinction between 10, 100, 1,000. Why? The elu nichnasim, the elu yoitzim. It's a whole train station. People are coming, people are coming out, people are going. Would you believe it? People come late. In which case, v'lav adaite the shliach tzibur. And the shliach tzibur can't be expected to know. He'll turn around and he'll look behind him and he'll see the 100 people. Who's to say? Maybe after that more people came, maybe less people came, maybe people are coming and going the whole time. So therefore, everybody agrees that when it comes to davening, you cannot make a distinction. You can't expect now the chazan to turn around and at exact numbers. It could change in a second, could change a minute ago, in a minute's time. Avol b'brikas hamozim. Shehein kavuin. When it comes to b'brikas hamozim, they're sitting there firmly in their place. Umu'urovin shom yachad, all mixed up together, having just eaten their meal. Ein lit ois bezeh. There's no place anymore for a mistake. Why not? She'ein yoitzin ad la'achar birkas hamozeh. Nobody's going anywhere until you finish benching. So you've sat here for your meal for an hour and a half. Everybody's been sitting there on their seat. Nobody's leaving until after benching. So then, Rabbi Akiva, fine, we understand Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it still doesn't make a difference. But I can understand, says Tosis, Rabbi Saglili says, that you can make a difference. So yes, when it comes to davening, everybody agrees that there's no difference as a standardized nusach. Says Tosis, that's just for pragmatic reasons. Because people are coming and going and we can't expect the Shliach Tzibur to know exactly how many people are there. When it comes to benching, nobody's moving until after benching. So if there's no room for a mistake, so Rabbi Yisrael says, well, if that's the case, we can therefore really expect and justify a change of nusach depending on the size of the crowd. Okay. With that, we begin the Gemara, and as we'll see, Rabbi Yehudovid, the question you asked before is in fact the Gemara's very first question. Says the Gemara, Omar Shmuel, La'oilom al yoitzi odom es atzmoi min haklal. A person should never take himself out of the klal. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. I have to take this carefully and see how Rashi learns. First Rashi on the Gemara. Al yoytzi es atzmoi, says Rashi. Af al pi sheba'arbo'o, even though when there's four people who rasho'oi, he is permitted, loyma l'shloisho, he is allowed to say to the three, baruch hu, quote unquote, comma. Nonetheless, toivloi, it is better still, sheyoymar nevorech, quote unquote, v'al yetzi atzmei miklal ha-mavorechim, and don't take yourself out of the klal of the mavorechim.
I think there's another point, and that is that if he takes himself out, doesn't he also have to be moda to what he ate? So why should he not include himself?
Right. Okay, so let's take this slowly. Rashi has been ma'arich to tell us, without Rashi, how would we have translated this line of Gemara? The Gemara does not sound like it's a suggestion what's better. Would you agree that the literal translation of the Gemara certainly sounds like it's not just a suggestion, l'chatchila, but rather it's telling you, it's asa, you should not take yourself out the klal, meaning if you have three people besides for him, do not say baruch hu. Rashi, however, waters down the Mishnah. What does Rashi say? No. The Gemara doesn't mean to say that it's asa. It is permitted to address the other three and tell them baruch hu. However, it is toiv, it is better still to incorporate yourself.
Doesn't the word la'olam actually water it down itself to say it's not an isser? It's
We'll see. Probably we'll see from the Hemshech of the Gemara where exactly Rashi got it from, but yeah, that's how you could translate it. So when you read the Gemara now in light of Rashi's comment, you have to read it as follows. Omar Shmuel, la'olam, in all circumstances, it is ideal, although not mandatory, that al yetzi adam as'atzmo min haklal. Not that it's absolutely forbidden at all costs, but rather it is not toiv. It is not lechatchila. But if for some reason you want to do that, Rashi clearly says it's rashoy, it is definitely permitted. So what's the obvious question? The obvious question is our Mishnah. Doesn't our Mishnah say the opposite? Tanan b'shloisha v'hu oimer baruchu, quote unquote. Now, surely the Mishnah is not telling us to do something which is b'di'eved. If the Mishnah says baruchu, it sounds like that baruchu is the correct thing to do, and yet you've just told me that even though it may be not incorrect, but it's certainly ideal to do differently. So why is the Mishnah telling you something which is not ideal? Says Rashi, the bottom Rashi, Tanan, b'shloisha v'hu oimer baruchu, almas, what do I see? That hochi adif. You see that it is better to say baruchu. In other words, not include himself. Kloima rabim atem. What do you mean? What you're expressing is that you are a rabim. Va'afilu eini imochem, and even if I am not with you, even if I am standing back, as it were, and addressing you, and I'm saying that you are the rabim, says the Mishnah, yes, that's what you're supposed to be saying. So we have a stira. How can Shmuel possibly say that what? That lachatchila, you should incorporate yourself in the bracha. The Mishnah seems to be saying the exact opposite. That ideally you should not be incorporating yourself in the bracha. So we have a stira. Okay, so Mitz Hashem, tomorrow we'll carry on, top of the omelet. Yeah. Okay. Well, have a great day, everybody. Amazing.